have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hearts grown cold, Lord. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Grace and peace be unto you all. I'm Bishop
a while to get to this place. I'm so glad I'm in this phase, accepting all my flaws, embracing authenticity. Cause there's nobody quite like me. Oh, I like being me. Who I'm created to be.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. Ruth LaAntra, a modern gospel singer who debuted in 2013 with the album So Good. She was born in Pinehurst, North Carolina on July 22, 1992. Ruth LaAntra Jones is the daughter of Bishop Alvitra Jones, who practiced at Come As You Are Evangelistic Center in Aberdeen, North Carolina. When she decided to pursue a musical career, she dropped her last name and funded the release of an EP. It created enough of a stir to attract Ty Scott Records, who signed the singer right away. The label released So Good in November of 2013. It peaked at number 19 on Billboard's Top Gospel Albums chart. For her 2017 sequel, I Got You, she teamed up with producers Anthony Brown and Justin Savage. Are you or your children considering a college career? If so, what major will you choose? Here's a partial list of some of the top earning college degrees for the future. Number 10, Industrial and Manufacturing Engineering. Number 9, Mechanical Engineering. 8, Engineering Mechanics, Physics, and Science. 7, Materials Engineering and Materials Science. Number 6, Aerospace Engineering. 5, Computer Science. 4, Chemical Engineering. 3, Pharmacy, Pharmaceutical Sciences, and Administration. Number 2, Computer Engineering. And number 1 is Electrical Engineering, with a median salary of $110,000 per year. If you're wondering what's coming up in the future for the music industry, well, of course, this is not an easy question, since music is such an integral part of our daily lives. Where is the future of music going? Well, the future of music most likely follow the same trends that we're seeing in modern technology. It will be incredibly social, similar to social media. It will become increasingly computer-based and AI-driven. It will serve as a window to the past, held open by musicians continuing to create music in more traditional ways. What's in store? Over the past two decades, there has been a shift in how we communicate. Messages that once took personal interaction to convey can now be made almost instantly and across almost any distance. We are the first generation that can communicate anytime, anywhere, without the restraint associated with immobile communication devices. For artists, this means that people no longer have to pack into a gallery to see your artwork or huddle around the radio to listen to your music. They can listen anytime, anywhere, with devices that are becoming increasingly intertwined with our daily lives. The audience is immediate, and the boundaries for finding and distributing art has been drastically decreased. For example, let's look at the process for distributing music 40 years ago. To distribute a song, the artist needed a record deal. That was due to the overwhelming expense of manufacturing and shipping a vinyl record across the country. If an artist wanted an international audience, the expense was extraordinary. With the distribution process of today, for a fraction of the cost, a very small fraction, an album or song can be almost instantly distributed around the world. With this increased ease of releasing music and the barrier to entry no longer present, more people will decide to create and release their music in the future. And here's your top 10 gospel songs for this week. Number 10, Devontae Padden, Always. 9, I Believe God, Jacalyn Carr. 8, Lord Do It For Me, Zacardi Cortez. 7, Miracles, Kiara Sheard, featuring Pastor Mike Jr. 6, Great God, Demetrius West and Jesus Promoters. 5, Revival, Jews Judah. 4, Erica Campbell with Feel All Right, Blessed. 3, Heaven, Anthony David and Algebra, Blessed. 2, Always Peace, Brian Courtney Wilson. And for the second week in a row, Kirk Franklin has our number one song with All Things. Well, that's your top 10 songs, the top careers for the future, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Remember to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can do that by going to my website at msninataylor.com. Now, let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
And good evening to you. I do want to apologize to the listening audience. For those of you by radio that did come back, we thank you for returning to radio. For those of you on social media, thank you for your patience. I had a few minor technical difficulties. Hopefully we got it all straightened out and we can move forward. Anyway, we've got not much time tonight, so we're going to kind of try to get back into our topics for the month of September. But before we do, let me introduce my guest. All the way from Indianapolis, Indiana. She's a member of Jerusalem Temple. Say hello to Pastor Henderson. Good evening, Pastor Henderson.
Good evening, Bishop. We're so glad to be on tonight. To our listening audience, we thank you for joining us. We are so looking forward to the discussion on tonight.
Amen. And all the way from the great city of New Haven, Connecticut, the great state of Connecticut, I should say. I want to say hello and welcome to Elder Lauren Bishop Brown.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you tonight? Thank you, ladies, before we begin. And as always, thank you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. I know that sometimes this job can be difficult, strenuous, and kind of nerve-wracking, but thank you for hanging on to the bridles of the horse and not falling off. We finally got the show moving, so God bless you. Thank you for all that you do. I want to say, ladies, we are, and I know some of y'all are going to say I'm crazy, but that's all right. I've been told I was worse, but what I was getting ready to say was primarily, as we're in the football season, ladies, and believe it or not, sometimes it is difficult to get people to come and listen to what thus saith the Lord. But we ain't concerned about that because at the end of the day, God is still in control. Tonight we're going to go into our second portion of our acronym and talk about how to get into shape. That's S-H-A-P-E. Last week, we talked about surrender. We found out what surrender meant, and we gave synonyms that were inclusive. When you talk about surrender, we had such words as yielding, conceding, submitting, giving away, deferring to, backing down, and other things of that nature. We found out that surrender was a term generally used to refer to either losing or giving up in a battle or a struggle. And then we got to the biblical portion where we said to ourselves, when we surrender to God, we're choosing to give up the fight between ourselves, that sinful man, and the spirit man that wants to connect to God the Father. We found out some other scriptures, and we just decided that we were going to go through a couple of them. We're not going to spend too much time on this because I am going to relinquish the remainder of our time to Elder Lauren Brown, because our second word, and I'm going to let her choose the second word. We talked about earlier a series of words that we would talk about, but I would prefer that she come to you and share with you where we're going from this point. So what I'm going to do is have you, Pastor Henderson, pray us in, and then after you finish praying, we're going to have Elder Brown begin our discussion. Thank you, those of you by social media. Please share this podcast. And for those of you on TikTok, please tap the screen. Come on, Pastor Henderson.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this gathering tonight. We thank you for this platform, Lord, to be able to share of your goodness and your mercy. And, Lord, say something tonight that will encourage somebody, that will we have a seed planted tonight that will cause someone's life to come up higher and to grow and to be fruitful in you. Father, we thank you, O God, for these your people and each listener. We thank you and praise you for this platform. And, Lord, we thank you and praise you for the panel. We give you praise tonight. We ask that you have your way, Lord, that something will be said to glorify your name. And we call it all done. In Jesus' mighty, matchless, holy name, we pray. Amen and
thank
amen.
Amen, amen. All right, my choice word is, Bishop, hope.
All right.
Hope.
Talk to me about
hope. I find that in my small small world or small situations, I should say. The evidence of hope is one thing. The resident being hope really being in me and part of my life choice, two different faiths. And my scripture, of course, is Jeremiah 29:11.
All
and
right.
Knowing
now.
It, reading it, and putting it into practice, and even just soaking in the fact that our God is so in love with us that 2,000 years ago, he had a plan. He had a plan, a specific plan for each and every one of us. And that plan is to bring us to an expected end. What kind of end can we expect from our God? An end with victory, an end with love, an end with being reconciled unto him. And it also specifically states in that scripture, he's not going to harm us. He's not going to harm us. His plans will give us hope. And a conjunction that means it's definite. It's joined to the plan and a future. Meaning that he wants us to live. He wants us to be able to understand that these are the things that he has for us. When we have hope, when we've made that dedication of our life to him, we have nothing but good things coming our way. Yes, there are trials and tribulations, but guess what? In being in him and of him during those trials and tribulations, we still have hope. We still win in the end. Hope.
Oh. Well, bless the Lord. I appreciate you now. Let's start with some minor discussion. And I guess, Pastor Henderson, I'm going to give you opportunity and chance to kind of extend what's already been shared from your perspective, because there's a lot to talk about, especially if we look at Jeremiah 29:11. I mean, you know, we can unpack that and be here the rest of the year. But what do you have to say about it? What comes to your mind? I'm waiting on you, Pastor Henderson. You're muted, Pastor Henderson. Unmute yourself.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I was thinking. Yes, sir. I was
thinking. Now, folks, she does have a dog, and when Cujo hears my voice, he starts barking. Let Cujo bark. That way people will know, you know? Don't matter. Let Cujo bark.
Yes, sir.
Pal,
yes.
Pal is on the line. Burr.
Yes, right. Sir. As I was listening when she was talking about hope, and I totally agree with everything she said, and I thought about the scripture that says that if we have hope in this world only, we are men most miserable. Amen. But we have a hope in God. We have a confidence in him, an expectation in him. And that just encourages my heart, because it says they that put their trust in the Lord shall never be made ashamed. And it's so good to know that when we trust God, that even when the odds are against us, even when people were saying you look silly or it doesn't look right for you to trust God, just to know that our hope is in him, and that our hope maketh us not be ashamed. And it says they that put the hope in the Lord should be like Mount Zion. We shall never be moved. I'm so encouraged by that, because we have a sure foundation in our hope in God. When everything else fails, the Bible says heaven and earth have passed away, but not one jot two of his word passed away. When we put our hope in that word stands forever, and it causes us to stand and walk upright. It causes us to hope and look up. It causes us to get up and stand up and move up. It just moves us because of that expectation. So I am encouraged tonight. My hope is on nothing else but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Yes. If we have hope in him, amen, it's a solid rock. It will anchor us. It will keep us, and it will strengthen us. And I'm so glad for that hope tonight. I'm so glad for that hope tonight. And that hope is in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to ask a question, and I know, Elder Brown, I'd rather you lead this one. It was your word choice. and I prefer you lead it, but I'm just going to throw something out there, and it's going to be shark bait. I'm going to put it out. We know there are multiple scriptures that you could have used. You chose Jeremiah 29:11. And for the Christian in this day and in this age, is it safe to say that hope gives wings to our dreams? And if so, how, in what way does it happen? If it's not a safe thing to say, please tell me why.
I believe I think it's a safe thing to say, but it's a conditionally safe thing to say, meaning depending on our level of faith, our level of putting faith into action and actually understanding that if we have a dream, if we have a desire or a hope, we have the right to go to the Father and tell him about it. But we also need to understand, or maybe I need to understand, let me put it that way, I need to understand that hope or dream has to be in accordance with his will for Lauren.
Okay.
That's the best way to put it.
Okay. All right. And so I'll turn around and throw this out there, and then I'm going to let go of the reins, and either you grab them or the stagecoach is going over the cliff. Basically, knowing this about that hope, the dream, I believe, I'm going to safely say that dream drives the heart of our God. We understand that God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us, and his purpose from all eternity is to prepare a family to indwell his kingdom. And when we read this first part, for I know the plans I have for you. Now, we do recognize that he is talking first and foremost about Israel and them coming out of captivity. But in the prophetic, he is speaking to those who are going to occupy the kingdom. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper. It is never God's will for us to live in poverty. It's never God's will for us to be sick. It is never God's will for us to live beneath the privileges that he has set. How can we be the apple of our God's eye, or how can we be the heartbeat of our God if all he wants is for us is calamity and disaster? You know, we got to think about this. He has plans for us to prosper. And I don't know about you. The last time I checked the definition on prosperity, it means to go above and beyond where you already are. Now, maybe y'all got a different definition, but that's my definition right there. And then he lets us know further, and he doesn't have plans to harm us. Now, I know there's some folk out there that are saying, well, why would God let people die? Why would God allow sickness? Why would God allow disease? Why would God allow disaster? God didn't allow any of that. It was because of our disobedience that sin came into the world. The Bible says, as for one man's sin, all were made sinners. So by one man's righteousness or one man's obedience, all can now become righteous. But it did not erase the consequences that came as a result of sin. If you read it right there in Genesis, right there in that third chapter of Genesis, where God told Adam and Eve what was going to happen, number one, to each of them, what was going to happen to the earth realm, and what this is going to be like. Jesus himself talked about it. But, you know, what we're not paying attention to is the fact that we want to live in the here and now, and we want to pretend like nothing, you know, like after we get saved, life is a bed of roses. And I often say this. Sometimes in our prayers, we pray for God's peace. We pray for God's joy. And it's nothing wrong with praying for God's peace or praying for God's joy. But understand, beloved, some things have to happen. Paul really talked about the earth in its decayed state or in its state of decadence that was coming because of the sins of man. This earth is leaving here. Go read the 21st chapter of Revelation. John the Revelator simply said, and I beheld a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth have passed away. So if God has plans for us to prosper, that means God has plans to give us even better and not to harm us, not to hurt us. That's not God's plan. He has plans to give us hope and an expected end, or should I say, in a future. Think about this. God is plotting for our good. That's what he's doing. Regardless,
Amen.
In spite of setbacks, in spite of our slip-ups, in spite of our calamities, in spite of our tragedies, in spite of all that we may go through, God has everything in his plan. I got to throw another scripture in there, my dear sister, that you might find helpful and or useful. And here it is in a nutshell. You find it in the book of Romans, chapter 8, I believe, verse 36 or 37. I think it's 36, because 36 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are called Amen. According to his purpose." So God is trying to put together the best possible future for each and every one of us. And every event of our days is literally designed to draw us toward God
Yes.
and toward that destiny. Now, I took over, so I'm letting go of the reins. The stage coach is running wild. Take over, Brown.
I think it's important for us to look at, Bishop, a lot of people, not a lot of people, some people I should say, some people are in that state of mind where God is this brow-beating, beat-you-down kind of God when he's not.
Uh-huh.
In our becoming more mature and more acclimated to who God really is, we have to understand and learn that there are certain things that possibly, I guess the best way to put it, that God allows. Because of the level of sin that nature, human nature has done. And also we have to understand that when things go awry, we have to understand that, unfortunately, the time of the enemy is still present. He is the ruler at this time on the
uh-huh.
earth. He's a
okay.
force. Unfortunately, he's the negative to our God, and it has to be something where I think it's, I'll put it this way. I used to think that church folks, because I don't come from a church upbringing, as you know my history. I used to think that they felt like there was some sort of magical abracadabra, poof, that person is changed immediately. They're not going to cuss anymore. They're not going to fuss anymore. And seems like some people were like that. And there are some people who are instantaneously changed, don't get me wrong. But then there
uh-huh.
are others, like myself, who you have to take it as a process. You know, like
yep.
the my favorite character, Shrek, says, we're like onions. Onions have layers. I had to learn to stop cussing. I had to learn to stop drinking. I had to learn to stop
wait,
looking
wait,
at
wait. You
people.
Used to cuss? Wow.
You know what? You are not funny. You know me too well. But, I mean, and it was a process.
See,
folks, it was a process.
Hey, I'm going to mess with you a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, this sister right here, if she did use the cuss, she probably used each and every syllable that was in the cuss word, okay?
Whatever.
I'm going to say sugar, honey, iced tea. Y'all figure it out. Spell it for yourselves. She probably pronounced the S, the H, the I, and the T. In
whatever.
It.
My parents, they spoke the King's English, and my parents paid cash for my Howard education, so whatever.
Go ahead, sis. I'm sorry.
And, you know,
I think
it's important, too, though, Bishop, in which I find is very respectful between you and I. It's funny, though. You've never had to chastise me, so to speak, even in our friendship, but I appreciate the fact
mm-hmm.
that you're honest enough, and this goes for Sissy too, both of you are honest enough to say, you know what, hey, Elder, you know, can I tell you something? You know, we need to think about this, and I appreciate that because my thing is I don't want to be wrong. Don't pet me up when I'm wrong, because when I stand
yes.
before a guy
mm-hmm.
who says love so, I have to answer for
yes.
the things I've done with this body. And
amen.
And there's little things that'll spoil what mama used to say, spoil the vine or whatever. But I said,
yes.
I never
mm-hmm.
really thought about it because as you go into the business world, and like I said, I graduated from Howard University, and I went to the business world, corporate America, and these different people of color, not our color, their favorite word was the F-bomb, and that's the way they communicated. And it became, you know, when I first got saved, it was hard to sit there and realize you can't have a conversation like that. And then I had to think about it. Did I want people to see me as a software executive who had a dirty mouth?
And think about that.
The reception for women that cuss, some women, I should say, I won't say all, some women that cuss, it's different. Now, if you're one of the good old boys, they accept that. They go for that stuff. But I had to learn, you know what? It wasn't about fitting in. It was about my commitment to Christ. And did I want people to see me like that? Because even my mother and father, at one time, they were like, something's different. What's wrong? I had to learn not to cuss. My father was like, what? You're cussing at work? I raised you better. I said, but Daddy, you know, you're trying to fit in and do what you got to do. That was what was happening. And it took me almost, a year and a half to start to learn it and stop it. So it's a process.
Well, you know what? And I understand that. I mean, but getting back, and I know, I understand where you're going with that. We have to, let's get back to, you know, talking about this word you chose, hope. And, you know, basically, we have to understand to the degree that we believe and accept God's vision for our lives. We get through life when we trust the path that God lays down. Now, everybody doesn't come to know Jesus for the pardoning of their sins, but everybody has to understand that in their subconsciousness, there is a living hope, a confident expectation that when we move forward in certain things, we have expectation of gaining whatever the ultimate end or destiny is we're looking for. Now, in life, we'll run across people who may want to junk us into the pit. We still have to stand up, Christian or non-Christian. Christian or non-Christian, we have to put ourselves in a position where we have to allow things in life to happen. When we fall into the pits of life, we have to stand back up. If God is your source, then you have to understand that God can take what others meant for bad and turn it around for your good.
Oh, yeah.
When those family members try to sell us out, we are able to climb up back on our feet. We're not so much concerned with what they think and how they feel. Oh, as long as what they're saying about us has no truth to it. And this is the hope that we have, the confident expectation that we have. I like what one writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. When he talked about faith, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I'm stopping right there for a minute because, you know, we have members that sell us out. God knows how to recycle that pain and turn that pain into a platform for a testimony. When we're falsely accused, or when we're wrongly imprisoned, or when we have been utterly abandoned, we might stumble, but we do not fall. And if we fall, we do not stay down, because in the middle of all this hope that we have, we are literally that confident expectation comes to the surface. That confident expectation brings us to a place and point where we can now look to the hill from which cometh our help, recognizing that our help is in fact coming from God. God works everything out in conformity with the purpose of his will. And we have to understand that. And when I say everything, I do mean everything. No exceptions. Everything in our life is leading to a climactic moment in which Jesus will bring into manifestation. Wherever it is that God is taking you, just know that God already has your best interest at heart. That's really all I'm saying on that. That's all.
Yes, and as I was listening to my sister, and she was talking about her experience, and because of that, she had hope that she could change. She was looking to change that behavior, and that's what hope does. It gives us confidence to look for something different. It gives us confidence to come out of something into something new. It gives us confidence to transform and confidence to be different.
Yeah.
And so that confidence ends up leading to our happiness. And it reduces the stress because it gives us expectations that trouble don't last always. I'm not going to be this way always. There's a brighter day coming someday. Change must come. And change is inevitable. And change is going to be good in my life. And so what that hope does, it gives you that expectation of looking forward to the change. It gives you this happiness and reduces the stress and the anxieties and the frustrations and the silent grief process and all those things that you go through, because you have this hope that because God is my hope and he's a God of change and a God of victory, I'm looking to that day. Amen. When my change coming. The Bible says that even the earth groans and moans for the coming of the Lord, for the expectation of their God. And so, hallelujah, if the earth is moaning and groaning, hallelujah, we must know that change is inevitable in our life. Hallelujah, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, I'm like thinking one day, can you just imagine if the seasons never changed and we got stuck in a temperature that was 103 and 13 and 14 degrees, or hallelujah, we wouldn't be able to hallelujah make it. But we have hope that summer is only a season. It's only going to last 2 or 3 months. And after that, it's going to be fall. It's going to be cooled down again. And then I got to thinking, can you ever imagine and if we ever got stuck in those temperatures in a winter season where the temperatures were -24 degrees. Hallelujah. The hope is that spring is on the way. Hallelujah. It's only another month or two, and that spring is coming. That's the happiness. Hallelujah. So you don't have to get stuck in sorrow. You don't have to get pressed out because of a season in your life, because, hallelujah, we have hope in God. And I just want to tell somebody tonight that God is our hope. Hallelujah. Yes. That you are not helpless. You are not left alone. Hallelujah. Nope. That we have a hope in God. Amen. To hold on to that hope tonight. Hold on to that expectation that things will change. It will get better. Yes. You're coming out of it. Lord. Trouble don't last always. God has a plan for your life. The giving expected end and an end of hope and great joy. Amen. Lord.
I ain't got my organ tonight. Bless you guys. Facebook Live, those of you who come in. We have a series going here for those of you that are just joining us. It's entitled How to Get in Shape. Last week we talked about surrender. This week we are talking about hope. And I mean, you know, let me ask the ladies a question. Before I do, is there anyone else on the line that would like to join the conversation? If so, would you please state your name? And where you're from? Okay. Silence gives consent. I think we are it. Let me ask you ladies a question. What is so important about hope for the believers? Either one of you, go ahead and answer that question. What is so important about hope for the believer?
I believe hope is important because we're living in a state of expectancy. A state of aspiration, a state of desire. And if you don't have that hope, which can be a side effect sometimes of the different diseases, whether it's psychotic diseases, whether it's mental illness, you know, addictive diseases, things of that nature, or addictions, when your hope is gone and you feel like, why am I here? I have nothing to live for. I have no hope. It's not going to get better. It's doom and gloom. Oh, woe is me. Eeyore is my name. That is a state where you have taken the time to separate yourself from God, to separate yourself from what God has in store for you. And in doing that, it kills the human spirit, for lack of a better way of describing it. And when your spirit is so cast down like that, if you don't have the fortitude or the education, meaning the word, to pull yourself out or to ask someone for help, then you can really eventually spiritually die, and then after that, naturally die. So it's a state where you don't want to be, and you don't want other people to be there. Because when we have hope and hope's eternal, then that means you have that get up and go. You may have a hard day today, but I'm going to get up tomorrow because you know what? Tomorrow's going to be a brighter day. Tomorrow's going to be a different day. I have another chance to get it right. I have another chance to get it right.
Yeah.
So that's why hope is important. Very important.
All right. What about you? I was going to say Apostle Henderson. Boy, I done raised her up about 47 times already.
Yes, you know, I totally agree with everything my sis said, and just add on to that, you know, it just helps you to be able to continue on, you know, to continue on. It gives you longevity to stay in the race. So many people are giving up because they lost their hope, you know, and what hope does, it really protects your dreams. Hope protects your destiny. Hope protects your mind. Hope protects your heart. It's like a shield. It's an armor. Hallelujah.
Thank
you know, it guards your heart, hallelujah, from fainting, so you don't have to faint, so you don't have to give up, so you don't have to dry up. My goodness, you know, hope is a protector. When you have hope, my God, hallelujah, you can hold on. You can run the race. Even though you fall, you get back up and keep on going. Hallelujah, because you have hope of that expected end. You're hoping to get to the finish line. So, hallelujah, hope is a guard. It's a keeper. Hallelujah, it guards our thoughts. It guards our behavior. It guards what we say because we don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to behave in the wrong way. Why? Because we have hope, and we don't want to mess up the expectation that God has for us. So we walk this careful walk because of our hope. We trust in our God because of this hope. We live holy because of his hope. We expect God to move because of this hope. Amen. Hallelujah. We have hope that comes from God. Hallelujah. And our hope, amen, causes us to endure. Hallelujah. Hardness as a good soldier. That's what it means a lot to the believer.
Well, you know, that goes full circle. Think about it. What is our race? It's a marathon. It's a marathon. So in us being in that marathon race, we have to take each and every phase of the training process first. And in that training process, when you attain hope, aspirations, and desire, and you're like, you know what? I'm like that, what's that thing, Bishop? The train, the little engine that could. Yes. No, the little engine that could. He says, I think I can. I know I can. As we become more and more word-versed, we can understand that not only are we our own cheerleader, but we have the Lord cheering for us. All of heaven says, come on, sister, you can make it.
That's
don't park.
It, that.
Okay, come
on. Yes.
Come on, finish line. You can see the finish line, Lord. Keep going. And to have that, and then to even have, like I said, I was referencing you guys earlier, to have friends that will seek me out and say, you know what, I haven't heard from you. What's going on? You know, are you still in the race of what you're doing? Hold me accountable. Because if you don't hold me accountable, I may not be able to hold myself accountable. I don't want to be lost. And to have friends of value like that, it's important. I'd rather you hold me accountable than beat me down. What's beat me down going to do? That's not going to give me hope. That's not going to change my attitude.
Nope. And see, now, there are some things that we want to touch before we take out of here, because we ain't too far from leaving. One of the things I want to look at, and if one of you can get 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, I really want you to read that because I think, you know, I think you will really bring this whole thing to a head and really bring some enjoyment to those who are listening. We want to welcome those of you who are listening by way of radio, whether it's iHeart, Spotify, the TuneIn, the Spreaker app. Thank you again, our good friend Jerry Royce. And for those of you that are here by social media, thank you so much for coming in wherever you're coming from. God bless each and every one of you. I know many are coming in on TikTok, but they're coming in, staying 10 seconds, and they're running out only to come back in again. But we're not going to worry about what they're doing. We're going to continue with our show. Does either one of you have 1 Peter, the first chapter in the 13th verse?
Yes.
Talk to me. What does it say?
All right. The 13, wait a minute. I'm still scrolling. Okay. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Listen to what you just read. Peter is just saying to us, despite what you may be going through, despite what you may be dealing with, Peter's just simply saying to us, beloved, basically, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope is not, and let's say this too, let's establish this, ladies. We might as well get this out here. Hope definitely is not wishful thinking. Let me say that again, because you get the wrong impression. Hope is not wishful thinking. You can't sit there and say, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope so. You cannot say that. That is absolutely not what is meant when we talk about the hope that we Christians are supposed to have. Basically, Christian hope, and let's give it a biblical definition, virtually by what our dear sister has just read. And for those that are listening, write this down. If you're driving, you can go back and look and listen to the podcast again at a later date. Hope is when God has promised that something is going to happen, and you put your total, complete, undeniable trust in that promise. Let me say that again, because some of us might have missed it. Hope for us as believers is when God has promised that something was going to happen, and you put your undeniable, complete trust in that promise. Hope is a confidence that something will come to pass because God has promised that it will come to pass. One more thing I want to throw in there that I sort of kind of think you will enjoy. Hope is a portion or part of faith. Some people don't seem to think so, but you got to think about this. Hope really is a portion or a part of faith. Faith and hope, in my mind, are overlapping realities. Why is that? Because hope literally is the fuel that fires up our faith in the future tense. I mean, so most faith really is hope. Think about that. You want me to back that up in Scripture? Let's back it up. How about Romans 10:17? So then,
I think we lost him.
I hope my phone learns how to act like it got some sense. Anyway. Let's sum it up like this. Primarily, and as we come to a close, we're down to the last 7 minutes anyway, so we might as well give a few announcements, and we might as well move forward. Hope, basically, like I said, is a portion of faith. Faith and hope are basically overlapping realities. This is what we're saying. Faith literally is hope literally is faith in the future tense. When you read Hebrews 11:1, where it says, Now faith, faith right now is the substance of things hoped for. That's future tense. So most of faith literally is hope. Now, I'm going to close with this, give you guys the final say, and we're going to call it a day. Here we are in a nutshell, beloved, and let's just move forward with this particular thing. When you think about hope, lose the thought that it's wishful thinking. Hope is not wishful thinking. It's a confident expectation that the God of our salvation is going to do exactly what he says he is going to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Who wants to take the first closing dissertation? Go right ahead.
You go ahead, Sissy.
Yes. Amen. This is so good. This was so good tonight. Yes. Hope. I just want to encourage, amen, every listener to hope in God. For when you put your confidence and your trust in the Lord, you will never, ever be disappointed. People
amen.
Will let you down. Things will let
amen.
You down. Places will let you down. But the Lord, the Christ, he will never let you down. So you can put your hope in him, knowing that the scripture said he is faithful that promise. The scripture says in another place, we serve a God that cannot lie, and he will not change his mind. If he says, he'll bring it to pass. All of his promises are yea and amen. So when you put your faith in his promises and rest everything on him, just know that he is well able to bring to pass his word in your life. He's well able to bring you out. He's well able to deliver you. He's well able to save. He's well able to do whatever you need him to do, no matter how impossible it looks. We serve a real big God, the God of our hope. So I encourage you tonight, hallelujah, put your hope and confidence in God. Tell God, hallelujah, that you just surrender everything to him. Get rid of your B, C, D, E plan and say, God, here I am. I surrender all to you. All to you I owe, and I put all my hope in you. And I know you'll never disappoint me. You'll never let me down. For the Bible
Amen.
Says that the plan the Lord has for us, a good plan, to give us good hope and an expected end in him. Be encouraged tonight. I pray something was said to encourage your heart tonight. In Jesus' name.
All right. Come on there, Elder Brown. What do you got?
I would say, Bishop, if you don't have hope, or if you feel like your hope bank is running low,
uh-huh.
in words, go to those that you trust. Go to the elders in the church and be honest. Say, you know what? I don't want to be funny. I don't want to be phony. I want to be delivered. I want to be able to have hope. I want hope to spring eternal, as it says in the Psalms. I want hope to be my lifestyle choice. Because
yes.
as we go through life situations and take it from someone who they have tried to give me or tell me multiple chronic diseases and telling me that I won't be here. Well, guess what? The Lord's will is that I am here, and I'm grateful. And I don't listen to the doctor but to a certain point. I believe the report of the Lord, because it says in 1 Peter 2:24, I am healed, and I am healed.
Yes.
I thank God. That gives me hope. That gives me the ability to put my sneakers on for this marathon race, change my sneakers if I have to, limp if I have to, crawl if I have to. If I have to call you and Sissy and say, guys, drag me to the finish line. Take me there.
Yes.
I have people that I have confidence in, knowing that God has an expected end for that marathon race, that we win. We win.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't give up. Don't park. Don't stop. Find your hope in the Word. There is life, hope in his Word. Mark my words. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yes.
Worth it. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I really appreciate what you ladies have brought to the table. I'm going to say this. I know some people don't have to believe what I'm saying, but I'm going to share something with you. I believe in Romans 8:32, it tells us, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Think about this. The last part of what I just read is talking about hope in its productive state. It's grounded on the solid rock statement that God didn't spare his own son. And if God didn't spare his own son, what gives us the impression that he's going to leave us without? So the essence of what we're looking at when we look at hope in Scripture is our hope is built, somebody said it earlier, on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is built on what Christ has done for us, what Christ has done for us in our sinful conditions that enables us to know that we will not come to judgment, we will not come to condemnation, and that all things are working together for our good. Really, if you need the actual answer, when you're looking to give hope a good, solid answer, the answer simply is Christ died for us, rose again, and therefore all the promises of God are in him, yea and amen.
Yes.
So let us no longer look at our situation. Let us no longer look at our circumstances. Let us not be so concerned with what's in front of us or what confronts us, but let us look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's look at the promises that he has put before us, and then let us hold fast to the confident expectation that God is and God can and God will. Hope comes from the promises that are rooted in the Word of God. Hope comes from the promises that are rooted in the work of Christ. So my whole thing here as we close today's session, let your hope rest in the fact that God is willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask for. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. I want to thank you. Get that outro ready, Sister Kimmy Kim, please. I want to thank you again. You getting ready to get elevated for the fourth time, Apostle. I mean, excuse me, Pastor Henderson. Thank you again, Elder Lauren Brown. And before we leave, both ladies, I need you. You host prayer lines. Can I get you both to give us an information for those who may want to come on and join us either in early morning prayer or noonday prayer? How How about we start with early morning prayer? Pastor Henderson, how can we join you in early morning prayer?
Yes, Jerusalem Temple Church has early morning prayer every morning from Sunday to Sunday. Amen. On conference line number, and that number is 617-793-8161. Amen. Again, that number is 617-793-8161. Every morning from 7 to 7:30 or until the Lord says the same. Amen. So you get to enjoy, amen, a word of encouragement and prayer as you are on your way to work or school. So you are welcome all to come and join us every morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, for this space.
Amen. All right. And I know, Elder Brown, you do host a prayer line. Can you tell us a little bit about the one that you're hosting at this moment? Elder Brown, you're muted. Take yourself off mute.
Sorry, sir. Okay. The prayer line for Power to Stand, Monday through Friday from 12 until 1 p.m. The number is 701-801-9814, 701-801-9814. You can come on. You can give a testimony and pray. You can sing a brief song and pray. You can ask us to pray for you. Our goal is to help you build your prayer life and further build our prayer life through getting together, believing, and praying.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We want to thank those who have joined us. And, again, we do have some of you who are on social media, who are literally on TikTok. You have to understand, folks, if we tell you it's a live radio podcast, there won't be any other questions answered that do not pertain to the subject at hand. And, you know, I hate to do this to you, but we're going to have to bypass you and disregard you unless you're taking part in what we're talking about. We love you with the love of the Lord. Don't think we don't want you to
Lord.
Be we love you. We love you being here, but stick with the program because, I mean, we're not going all over the place. This is not pinning the tail on the donkey. Amen. Anyway, with that being said, Dr. Timmy Robinson, can you please go ahead and start that outro? We want to thank every one of you for being with us. God bless you until next
Amen.
Week. And Pastor Henderson, your turn next week. We're going to the letter A. Pick the word. I don't know what you want to use. Me personally, I ain't going to tell you what I'd rather use because then you might take my word. Anyway, go ahead. Dr. Kimmy Robinson,
yes.
I controls because you started already. Lord, I'm telling you.
Good.
Thank you all.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ Power to Stand or on PayPal, preacher719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.